Welcome to another inspirational teaching by Pastor Charles Neiman, Senior Pastor of Abundant Living Faith Center.
All right, you guys ready to rock and roll? Amen. We're going to continue and actually wrap up tonight, as I said earlier, the teaching that we're calling Soul Good, and it deals with getting our souls, our mind, our emotions, and our wills into a good place, right? To where they are going in the right directions. Why? Why? Because 3 John verse 2, right? You can go home and look it up. 3rd Epistle of John, back by the book of Revelation, says, John writing, the Apostle John said, I pray above all things. Imagine all of the things that John knew to pray for. Can you imagine? He said, above everything I know to pray for, I'm going to pray for this for you. That you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So clearly, the condition of my soul, the condition of our souls, affect other areas of our lives. They affect our health. They affect our prosperity. Now, you'll remember that the word prosper there, let me remind you again tonight, the word prosper means to have a good and safe journey through life. That you prosper, that you have a good and safe journey through life. Now, it includes financial prosperity, but it's not exclusive to that. It includes much bigger picture of your life. That's included, but it's much bigger, right? Let me read it to you again, that you have a good and safe journey through life. Now, what brings that about and that you be healthy is that my soul is being led in a good and safe way. So we've been looking at positive soul traits, negative soul traits, things that cause our souls to be prosperous and things that would cause our souls to be unprosperous. Remembering, all right? Remembering. I know we've said it a lot, but you know, these things we repeat because they're important, right? Remembering that the condition of my soul, the condition of your soul, your mind, your emotions, and your will is going to affect the type of journey your life takes. Is it going to be good and safe? What's leading me? Okay, so we've been looking at these things, right? The first week, let me see, I think we talked about, you know, one of the negative soul things is that you get offended. And it's not just that you get offended for a moment, but that you live an offended life. You're displeased, you're resentful, which eventually produces bitterness in your life. Okay, I think all of us have known people that are bitter, all right? Medical science will tell you that bitterness in the human soul is one of the worst things that can happen to your physical body, okay? So we should run from it like the plague. Can I get a good amen on that tonight, right? We should do everything we can to nip resentment and displeasure. That's what produces bitterness. You become displeased, then you become resentful, then you become bitter. We need to nip it in the bud. Amen? We need to deal with it right away. All right? And what was the cure for that? Grow up. I said, what's the cure for being offended? Grow up. You're not perfect and neither is anybody else. Grow up. Remember that when you're driving home tonight. Grow up. Get over it. Amen? Then we looked at, you know, the danger of being opinion-driven instead of counsel-based or counsel-hungry, right? I want wisdom and counsel and not opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. Any of you in here got an opinion? How many of you got more than one opinion? I've got dozens of opinions. I mean, I've got opinions about all kinds of things, just like you do, right? I've got sports opinions and political opinions and social opinions, and I've got this kind of opinion. I've got that kind of opinion. You know, I've got opinions about the president. I've got opinions about Miss Clinton. I've got opinions about everybody, right? And you're entitled to your opinion. But if you're going to have a healthy life, you need to know when to keep your opinion to yourself. Huh? Just because you have an opinion doesn't mean you should speak it. There's a lot of people today forget that. There's been a shift in our society today to where everyone has an opinion. That's no difference. But a lot of people think today that because they have an opinion, they have the right to express it, and whoever hears it is obligated to accept it and agree with them. And if you don't agree with them, then you're a hater or you're a bigot. It gets really old after a while. Can I hear a good amen? You know why? You know why it gets old to me? Because it shines the light off of real bigotry. And we shine the light on what we call bigotry, which is not. It's just, I don't agree with your opinion. That didn't make me a bigot. It doesn't make me a hater. It doesn't make me a racist. And so the light comes off of the real stuff, like we saw in Portland last week. So the light comes off of the real problem, and we look at the fake. Come on, somebody. You know I'm telling you the truth. All right? So, we want to be counsel-based, wisdom-based, and even in the way we treat other people. We want to give people wisdom, not opinion. Give your kids wisdom, not opinion. All right? Then we talked about generosity, living your life with a generous soul, a generous soul. And then last week we talked about, not going through life blaming. Fixing the blame instead of fixing the problem. Remember I said to you last week, there are some sports fans that their whole life existence is defined on blaming the referee. Right? We'd have won 15 Super Bowls by now if it wasn't for the referees. No, you wouldn't. You played better teams. You just, see, if we can blame somebody, then we don't have to accept that the other team was better. So let's fix problems. Amen? I mean, let's fix the problem, not fix the blame. Okay, enough review. Let's get into what we want to look at tonight, right? I want to remind you tonight that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, the Bible says that when you become a child of God, that you are translated from the kingdom of darkness, you are delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So as a child of God, we live in the kingdom of God. I'm living in it, you're living in it. Now, what you need to understand is how that kingdom operates, how you work in that kingdom, how you flow in that kingdom, what are the laws, if you would, that govern that kingdom so that you can benefit from the kingdom of God. Can I get a good amen tonight, right? Now, with that thought in mind, how many of you believe tonight that you are living in the kingdom of God, right? I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Why? Because I'm of the kingdom of God. I'm a child of God, and I live in the kingdom of God. Amen? So kind of wrap your brain around that. So with that thought in mind, turn to me to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Did you bring your Bibles with you tonight? I always want you to bring your Bibles, right? Always want you to bring your Bibles. I want you to read things for yourself. Romans chapter 14. Pastor, how come you don't put them up on the screen? Because at 3 o'clock in the morning on Thursday morning, you ain't got no screen. If you need to find that verse, you need to know where it is. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God, right? For the kingdom of God. Where do we live? In the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So in the kingdom of God, three of the things that govern the kingdom of God and that are to be active in our lives is righteousness, which we are gifted with through Jesus Christ. We are gifted with right standing with God. Peace, right? That's a hallmark, a trait, a characteristic of living in the kingdom of God. You have peace, right? Health, welfare, prosperity, every kind of good. That's what the word peace means. It also means the end of strife between you and God. So you live in that reality. Hey, I'm a friend of God. God loves me. I love him. We're family. We get along. Hallelujah. Right? So I'm welcome here. And joy. And joy. Right? So joy, I want to talk to you tonight about the great soulish, prosperous soul trait of joy, right? And how important it is for your life. If you have a concordance or you have something like that, go home and look up the word joy and see how many times the word joy, joyful, joyfulness appear in the Bible. It is one of the major themes of living in the kingdom of God, that God has given us joy, right? Joy. I'm going to show you some amazing verses tonight. So joy is one of the traits of a prosperous soul. And as I said, it's used a lot in reference to the children of God in Scripture. It's used a lot in reference to the children of God and our life with God and in God, and God's life flowing through us and out of us into the world around us. Okay, so it is one of those traits, one of those things that God has blessed us with. Now we all know, oh, let's go look at it tonight. Just take a second, we're almost there. Matthew chapter 25. The parable of the talents. I've done a lot of teaching on this teaching here about being faithful in the smalls. How many of you remember that, right? Being faithful in the smalls and, you know, being faithful over what God puts in your hands. And we've done a lot of teaching there on faithfulness. But I want to remind you of this statement here in verse 21, right? The servant was given five talents, made five more, and he came back and gave the 10 to the master. And the master said to him, Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things or over the smalls. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So this is definitely something the Lord wants us to experience. He wants us in our obedience to Him to live in joy. He wants there to be joy in our lives. All right? He wants us to live a joyful life. All right? That He wants us to experience that joy in our lives. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 51. And let me show you some amazing verses, right, speaking about children of God. Are you glad you came? Isaiah chapter 51. Have you got it? All right, go with me down to verse 11. Now watch who he's talking to, right? You got to pay attention. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Who are the redeemed of the Lord? Well, us. Those of us that have made Jesus the Lord of our life. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has obtained for us an eternal redemption. Remember I taught you in redemption back around Easter, right? So we are the redeemed of the Lord. So he's talking to all of us in this room that have received Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, and we confess Him as Lord. We've been born again. We're children of God. So he says, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Zion is the Old Testament name for what we call the church, right? And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Now, what you may find interesting here is that in the dictionary, the antonyms of the word joy, the antonym of the word joy is sorrow and mourning. All right? So here God has said that upon the lives of the redeemed. Do I have any redeemed in the house with me tonight? Right? So he's talking about you and he's talking about me. Amen? I'm going to take this verse personal. I hope you will too. Right? So here he's saying to us here that he has put joy upon our lives, and that joy is there to replace sorrow and mourning. That sorrow and mourning is not to be the characteristic of the child of God's life. That the child of God's life is to be joy and gladness. Joy and gladness. Now, he also says here that this joy and this gladness will cause sorrow and mourning to flee. So even though there may be sorrow and mourning, and many times in life we have reasons for sorrow and mourning, God says that we can replace that with joy. And in fact, that's exactly what he wants. He wants us to be happy again. Am I helping anybody tonight? Right? That there's joy available to us. Man, I love these verses. Huh? Go with me to chapter 61. Isaiah 61. Let's look at another one here. Right? Verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. So he's talking particularly to children of God that mourning or sorrow has got a grip on their life. Now, please understand, I know there's times for it. I know it as well as anybody knows it, okay? That there are times for sorrow and mourning. But you don't want a lifetime of it. You don't want it to take you captive. You don't want it to steal the happiness that God wants for you to have, that he wants you to enjoy again, right? And he says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. So he wants this sorrow, this mourning, to end and to be replaced with joy. Wow. So obviously then, there is a battle in life over which trait is going to be in my soul. Is my soul going to have joy and gladness, or is my soul going to embrace mourning and sorrow? Which one is my soul going to embrace? Now again, let me say it again, because anytime you teach on these subjects, there's people that are in places in their lives and they tend to get kind of sensitive, and I understand it totally. Please understand me. I'm not talking to you as a guy that's never known sorrow and mourning. All right? How many of you know I have known sorrow and mourning? Okay? But I'm also telling you that God wants to replace that with joy. Because sorrow and mourning, can I just be real honest with you from my own life experience? Sorrow and mourning is not going to lead you in a good, safe journey through life. But joy is going to lead you into a good, safe journey through life. Amen? And so we need to see this and receive the wisdom that God is giving into us, into our lives, and saying that God wants to take mourning and replace it with joy. Now then the question is, am I going to let him? Am I going to let him? Now, can I just be real blunt and just try to help somebody tonight? And you won't get mad at me? Okay, I'm not going to tell you then. It's just that simple. I'll just keep it to myself. All right? No, I got to be honest with you and tell you. Right? Some people, not all people, there's always a few people, they won't let go of their sorrow and their mourning because it has become their tattoo. And I'll tell you why some of them won't do it. Because they feel guilty. They feel guilty. I don't have a right to be joyful. Why? Well, because this person's no longer here. Okay, but can I tell you something? They're pretty happy where they are. Because in heaven it says there's no weeping, no sadness, no tears, no mourning, no sickness, no pain, no disease, no IRS, none of that exists. I don't know why I thought of them. Amen. right? No taxes. They're happy there. They're happy there. God wants you to have joy, because joy is going to lead you in a good, safe journey through life. Well, Pastor, that's easy for you to say. You know, you live a great life. You're right, I do. I do live a great life. And I think a part of my great life is that I have chosen joy over sorrow and mourning. Amen? And it's not disrespectful. All right, the Old Testament definition of the word joy, I'm going to give you the Old Testament and the New, so they're very similar, but I want to give you all the information. The Old Testament definition of the word joy, you get out of Hebrew English Dictionary, defines joy as the following: gladness, happiness, but listen to this. In the Hebrew language, the word joy is defined as a response or choice of inner happiness because you are living in the way of the Lord. So what's a response? It's a choice. It's a choice. You know what? I choose to wake up in the morning and say, today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what the psalmist said. So now you see where he got that, right? I will. You know, I remember several years ago, I quoted that verse and somebody came up to me and said, well, you know, who do you think you are? You know, you will. It's the Lord's will. No. The Lord has put the joy in your life. He has made it available to you inside the kingdom. In the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. It's there. It's available to you. And then in the Bible, it says that we respond to it. We choose it. We choose it. All right? Now, here's the verse to me of verses. And then I've got some more that are even, right? Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the... Now, did you catch that, right? So joy, if I had my whiteboard up here, I'd write it out. Joy, from that verse of Scripture, joy equals strength. Now, we don't usually associate joy with strength, but God does associate joy with strength, right? And whenever I think of that, I always think of Ephesians 6, having, you know, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, right? So a part of strength is choosing joy. So, if you and I know that verse, we also know the devil knows that verse, so mark it down. You better be sure of this. Satan is going to do everything he can to steal your joy, because if he can steal your joy, he can steal your strength. And he's going to give you 9,000 reasons before you get home not to agree with what I'm teaching you tonight. Well, that's easy for him to say. You know, he hasn't been with you what you've been through. He doesn't understand. He's got a great life. He's got... People love him. Nobody loves you. Everybody hates you. You know, he's got great kids. You got horrible kids. I mean, look at those kids. You know, he's married to a beautiful wife. Look at what you're married to. Oh, my God. You know, what in the world, right? He gets to travel to all these great cities, and he's got great friends, and your friends are like from the devil. Oh, no, I don't want to say that. We don't know where they came from, right? And so, you know what I'm talking about? Now, we're laughing, but the way some of you are laughing, it's like, is he living in my car with me? No. I've just been living on the earth. I know I've been there. I've played that game. And if the devil can steal your joy, he can steal your strength. Mark it down. Man, you got to fight to keep your joy. It's got to become like a prized possession to you. Not going to let the devil steal my joy. And if he does steal it, I'm going to get it right back. I'm going to get my joy back. Amen? Amen. All right, let's go look at some great verses in the New Testament. Are you ready? We're going to go really quick. Got a bunch of them. Go with me to John 15. Jesus gets on a roll in John 15 talking about joy. It is amazing. Watch how many verses you're going to look at here. He just knocks them out, one right after another. Chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So mark it down. Where does joy come from? Joy comes from knowing His words, knowing His promises, knowing what the Word of God says about your life. The Word will produce joy in your life. Did you catch that? It's not mystical. It's not magical. It comes from the Word. The Word in your life. That's why you got to have a good relationship with the Word of God. Amen? That's why you got to know your Word and read your Word and come to a church that teaches you the Word. That's where you're at. And learn how to know that Word and receive that Word in your life. Because the Word, Jesus said, I give you my words that my joy, isn't that beautiful? He took His joy and gave it to you. So you didn't get some bargain rate, blue light special kind of joy. You got the real deal. Amen? Top shelf. Best there is. Amen? Look at chapter 16. I want to give you these verses. I'm running out of time. Verse 22. Now therefore have sorrow, because he told him he was leaving. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Watch this. And your joy no man takes from you. That's quite a statement. That's quite a statement. Pastor, I'll never be happy again because he's not in my life or she's not in my life. You know what you're saying? You're saying that this verse does not apply to you, that your joy came from them. When your joy doesn't come from them, your joy comes from Him, and no man can take your joy from you. Amen? Amen? Am I helping you tonight? Is this making sense? Look at verse 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, so that your joy may be full. So answered prayer brings joy to your life. Ooh, that one's easy to understand. So I'm going to pray a lot. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. It's good teaching, huh? Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Look at this one. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God will fill you with joy, the God of hope. So hope and joy, what is hope? A positive expectation for your future. Jeremiah 29 says, I have a hope and a future for you, a positive expectation for your future, right? So I have a hope and a future for you. Amen. A hope and a future. And here he says, the God of hope, the God of a positive expectation, will fill you with joy. So you know what? Why don't we just ask God to fill us with joy? Amen. God of hope, fill me with joy. Come on, lift your hands towards heaven. God of hope, fill me with joy. Amen. Just fill me with joy. I want joy, right? I choose joy. But to choose joy, I got to want mourning and sorrow to leave me. Well, Pastor, everybody wants it to leave. No, not everybody. Not everybody. All right? So the God of hope will fill you with joy. Hebrews 12:2 says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. So there you see a perfect example of joy giving strength. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So the joy gave him strength. Right? He chose gladness. Man, how can you choose gladness? Now, he wasn't glad because he was going to the cross. He was glad for what it was going to produce after he went to the cross. So he drew strength from that. He drew strength for it. You know, sometimes in life, you know, sometimes being a doer of the word and acting on the word of God, it's not easy. It's hard. Man, I've been through times in my life when can I just be honest with you tonight? I have struggled for days with forgiving. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. I wanted to do a lot of things, and forgiveness was not on the list. But joy, the joy of I knew the fruit of that forgiveness empowered me to fight that fight and come out on the other side. Does that make sense to you, right? Because I know the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying what they did was right. Forgiveness is saying, you know what, you hurt me back then, but I'm not going to let you keep hurting me in the future because I keep holding on to what you did. I forgive you. God bless you. Go on with your life. I'm going to go on with mine, and I'm not going to be tied to you anymore. Amen? All right. James chapter 1 says, count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of temptations, tests, and trials, knowing that the trying of your faith energizes patience. Right? So there he says, even if a temptation or test or trial comes in your life, right, go to joy. Joy, right? Oh, I'm so happy I'm being tested. That's not what he said. He said, knowing that when your faith is tried, patience will come into operation and undergird your faith. And when you let patience have her perfect work, then you'll be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So even though your faith is taking a hit, patience is going to carry you through. And it's that joy knowing, wow, God has put a fail-safe system in me that undergirds my faith so that we're going to get through and we're going to come through. So you know what? I'm not afraid of it. I've got joy because I know I'm going to come out on the other side. Amen? Is that making sense to you? All right. Now, let me give you the New Testament definition of the word joy. Okay, we're almost done. Is this good? Yeah, God, you can. How many of you choose joy? Choose joy. Amen? Now, the New Testament definition of the word joy means rejoicing. So I'm going to live a rejoicing life. Gladness, enjoyment, good cheer, gladness of heart. We probably learn even more by looking at the opposites, the antonyms of the word joy in the New Testament. It means sorrow. Sorrow. You know, am I living my life sorrow? Sorrow. I know we have times of sorrow, you know, but has it captured me? Has that become what I'm known for? Sorrow, grief, mourning, pain, affliction. Listen to this, misery, man, there's no way that living my life miserable is going to take me on a good, safe journey through life. I'm shocked today how many Americans I will listen to and around that are miserable. They're miserable. And I'll be honest with you, y'all need to be proud of me, right? Because I just stand there and look at them and I just smile when I want to shake them. I really do. I want to shake them. Say, what is wrong with you? You're miserable. Really? You're miserable. Well, they didn't fix my latte right. Grow up. You know, I told you back some time ago, I was teaching. This became so clear to me, right? Was, you know, and again, I'm not trying to be political, but you know, I can pull things out and we can learn from it, right? That when we moved from 2016 to 2017, there was a group of people in our country that decided that 2016 was the worst year in history. In history? In history? In history? How many of you think those people need to get a grip? In history? I don't think that year even compared to 2001 when we had 9/11. And I'm only going back 16 years. I've got a man I know here in El Paso. He's an incredible guy. I've met him, known him now for a few years, right? He is an Auschwitz concentration camp survivor. Go tell him that 2016 was the worst year in history. You're going to seem really foolish and small with your life miserable attitude. You need an injection of joy. You need to get over that. The devil is robbing you. Am I getting through to you tonight, right? Sorrow, grief, mourning, pain, affliction, misery, anguish, distress. Get ready. Bitterness. Bitterness. All of us are given reasons. Last couple of thoughts. All of us are given reasons. All of us. None of us in life are exempt. All of us are given reasons, events, and circumstances, and even people that we live with that will give us misery, that will try to cause us to become bitter, and to be, as the literal text says, consumed by grief. I remind you, if you lose your joy, you lose your strength. I know life hurts sometimes. I know it does. So do you. But can I help you tonight? Don't ever forget, you are a child of God. Amen. That there are blessings in your life. That was one of the great dichotomies of me when I went through that whole thing when Rochelle passed away, was that I had this huge sorrow, this enormous mourning in my life, and yet around me, there were so many of God's blessings all around me. So many of God's blessings all around me. But you know, if you're not careful, you focus on the misery, you focus on the pain, you focus on the sorrow, you focus on the mourning. And I'm telling you from my own experience, it's going to pull you down a dark, dark, dark hole. Learn from me, reject it, and choose joy. Choose gladness. Look in your life for all of the blessings and all of the good things that are going in your life, right? Yes, there are things that are hurting us, but there are lots of blessings and good in your life still. Last thought, and then I'll let you go. Has this been good? Worth your time coming tonight? One more thought. This is a short one. But I was thinking about this the other day, and I shared this with a pastor friend of mine, and he said, Charles, you need to teach that all over the world. So I'm going to start with you. A lot, not all, but a lot of Christians live angry lives. Wow. Wow. They have no sense of humor. You can say amen. They're not here. They would not darken the doors of this church. They would, oh. They're angry. They have no joy. And they think that that is Christianity. That life here is miserable. And the more miserable you are, the happier God is. And that your joy comes when and if you get to heaven. They're not even sure anybody's going except them. Because nobody is as holy as they are. You know who I'm talking about. It's Stay away from those people. Stay away from them. Go home tonight, read the four Gospels. All of the people, right, were happy, rejoicing, loving Jesus, except the religious guys. Never happy, always mad, even when somebody got healed. How dare you heal on the Sabbath day? I would have been like, woo, somebody got, how many of you have been like, wow, look at that? Huh? Come on, wow, look at that. Oh my God, and these guys are over here. No, we're not going to be happy because somebody got healed. You know what I'm talking about? Those scribes and Pharisees are still walking in El Paso today. And you know where you really find them? Social media. That has been their blessing from heaven. Social media. I'll tell you a quick story, then I'll let you go. How many of you know our good friend Brian and Bobby Houston, right? So I follow Bobby Houston and Brian on Instagram. And last week, she posted a picture of when she was at Color Conference in Hillsong. Somebody gave her like a jacket. So she put the jacket on, and she posted this real kind of cute picture with two of the Hillsong pastors around her, and they were acting silly, and she posted it, right? Well, then next to it was a picture of one of the Kardashian girls had the same jacket on. You could not believe the comments from Christian people. It embarrassed me. No joy, no gladness, can't be happy, can't see the funniness of the picture, right? I won't even bore you with the comments. I just flipped through them, right? And I was like, Bobby, how can you take this? And Bobby finally responded and said, look, if you don't like it, quit following me. But they can't. They can't. All I'm trying to tell you is, don't let the devil steal your joy. Amen. And don't listen to those Christians that all they want is to judge and find fault, and they're miserable and they're angry. You know what? I don't know. I don't know the Jesus they're serving. The Jesus I'm serving, he's a pretty happy guy, right? He came to give you life and life more abundantly. He came to give you joy in the kingdom of God. So embrace your joy. Amen. Can we give the Lord a great hand clap tonight? Beautiful. Amen. Stand your feet with me, please. Let's pray for a quick second, and I'll let you go. Lift hands towards heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, God of hope, fill us with joy. Fill us with joy. Take this mourning and sorrow that may be in a few of the hearts tonight and put in the oil of joy into their life, Lord. Take away that ashes and replace it with beauty. Help us to see all of the beauty of life that's going on around us, all of your blessings. Even though we may be in a time of sorrow, there may be reasons to mourn. Even though we may be surrounded with miserable and bitterness and all that, I'm not going to let it infect me. I'm not going to let it pull me down. I'm not going into that dark hole. I'm going to have joy in my life. I'm going to look for the fingerprints of God all over my life, and I embrace it in the name of Jesus. And if you agree with that prayer, shout, amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. See you this weekend. Amen. It's going to be great. I'm teaching a pillar this weekend. You're going to love it. It's really good.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed today's message. For information on teaching material or questions about our church, please visit us at alfc.com.